Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Held by the New York Times as a natural-born storyteller, Francesca Marciano gives us 9 smart stories that are funny, elegant, and by turns explore the power of change in relationships and geographies and across cultures to reveal unexpected aspects of ourselves. The title of the new book is The Other Language. It is a great pleasure to welcome Francesca Marciano to the program. Thank you very much for being with us. What a great pleasure.
Well, thank you, Joe, and thanks for having me.
It's a delight. What brought you to start these stories and put them into some sort of context?
Well, actually, this is, of course, the first time that I'm writing short stories. And I had a few, I mean, all of them, in a way, have been kind of floating around my brain for quite a long time. But I always postponed. I always said, one day I'm going to write this story. And I sort of never got to it. And then finally, I think about 3 years ago, I felt like, you know, I really should before I start forgetting everything, because I never take notes. So I felt like I really had to give them a shape and a life somehow. And so I started with number one, and then number two, and then number three. And it was a very strange process, because every time that I wrote one story, I knew that there was another one, because I sort of knew all of them. But I had to change completely the landscape and, you know, new characters, new landscape. It was always like starting a new novel, except in a short form. So it was not easy, the transition from one to the other. And each time I thought, I wonder if I can make it, you know, or if I have to abandon this project. And miraculously, they did. They came back. And they were there. They were still in my brain after so many years.
The Other Language is the title of the book. It is also the title for the first story of the collection. What does it signify, and not only for that first story, but also to make it work for the entire collection?
Well, The Other Language is definitely an act. Okay, I think that speaking two languages is an act of transformation. And the first story relates to that. It's about a young girl in her teens who has just lost her mother and who is somehow in denial of the pain that she has to endure. And on the first vacation that she takes without her mother, led only by the father and her younger sister and brother, she leaves Italy for the first time and goes to Greece, where she meets these two English boys who seem like coming from a completely different world. And she's fascinated by the fact that they speak this other language, which is English. And by trying to learn a new language and in order to communicate with them, so by this act of not only of transformation, but if you want, it's also a way of escaping the person that she has been until then. And so it's a way of escaping the pain and the loss. She begins like a voyage into, you know, the second part of her life, where she will be not only bilingual, but she will go and live in a different place, so that this encounter when she's very young determines so much in her life. And that was really the first short story that I wrote, because it kind of resonated with some of my experience at that age. And then, you know, the other language became sort of a symbol for the other stories as well, because I think that most of the characters that populate the book are caught at a time of either disorientation or transformation or crisis, in which they are confronted by not only different cultures and different places, but and maybe you know, cultures they don't understand very much. But they are at a, in a very vulnerable state. You know, they're more exposed. And I think that I wanted unconsciously to talk about that, those moments of juncture, you know, in our life.
With that said, give us a sense of the freedom that you think a writer can find from writing in a language that is not his or her own.
Well, for me, learning English at a very young age was strangely, I can say, not only, you know, an adventure into a different world, it enabled me to communicate with people that were different than me. I was about 13 or 14. But it gave me a sense of freedom because I fell in love with the English language. It was like a coup de foudre. It was almost like I had found a new identity, a new personality. I think when you speak two languages, you open up another side of your brain. You incorporate another culture, another form of humor. You expand. You play with words as if you're playing with music. It's very liberating in a way because I think at least what it did for me later on in life when I decided to write in English, I felt freer because I had somehow I felt I had no witnesses of my past, of my identity. It was a form of betrayal in a way, I think. You know, I think it is for people that start using a second language in their adult life. And at the same time, that betrayal is also a liberation because you express yourself in the language of your mature life where you're free from the constrictions and the inhibitions of, you know, of your own culture.
And English has a very direct and concise expression, doesn't it?
Well, English is the opposite of Italian. Italian is a very convoluted, very ornate language that sometimes can be very ambiguous and not as you say, you know, not as direct. So I think for a writer to be able to use a language that says what it means all the time is quite wonderful. I think in Italian, style becomes very important and overpowering, whereas I think that with lesser tools, because of course, you know, despite the fact that I do speak English fluently, still for me it's a language where I have less tools than I have in Italian. And yet sometimes less is more.
You certainly have had a rather nomadic life, and you have spent time in the States, you've spent time in Italy and in Kenya. And it's interesting to note that so many of these stories, all of these stories actually in the collection, involve some sort of travel and have something going on with someone who is a foreigner or a stranger. Mm-hmm. And I assume that is by no coincidence.
Well, no, because so much of my life, or my adult life, I have been that foreigner, and I have been, living in different places. And I think that, you know, some of those experiences have really stayed with me, because I think when you're not living in a comfort, when you're living outside your comfort zone, you become, as I said earlier, more vulnerable in a way, more alert, and so you're more alive. So it's almost as if all your senses perceive things with an incredible clarity because you are watching out for yourself. You know, you're trying not to make the wrong moves. You're listening and you're looking around all the time. And and I think for a writer, that is almost an ideal condition to be in. It's a condition of, you know, you're listening all the time. You are very aware of what's around you. And at the same time, you know, traveling, I've always, I think even since I was a child, I always thought I wanted to travel. I'm not an immigrant, so I, in a way, you know, I've been a privileged traveler in the sense that I didn't move because I was forced to. I didn't go through the same trauma as so many people that are forced to travel and change and lose, you know, their family, their friends, and things like that. And at the same time, I think that, and, you know, at least for me as a writer, that has really shaped me in the person that I am today.
I want to go back to something you talked about a moment ago, and that was vulnerability. And there are some who would be very frightened by that feeling of vulnerability, and you seem to relish it.
Well, you know, again, I think that a lot of people resist to learning a language, despite maybe the number of years that they have lived in a different place, because to learn a new language, you have to become that other person. And I think, you know, that there are two ways you can go. You know, you can either remain attached to familiarity, you know, not only in the language but in the place, or you can relish, as you say, in the change. And for me, I think reinventing oneself is always a source of incredible energy. And it's a new way of looking at oneself from a different point of view, and where all the proportions are probably capsized. And I find that rejuvenating and very precious.
You're going to be doing double duty at the New York State Writers Institute on Friday when you come into town. You'll be doing a reading in the afternoon at 4:15. And then there's going to be a screening of the film that you wrote the screenplay for. So really two projects, two writing styles that will be explored.
Yes, I'm very excited actually about coming to Albany to do this. And very grateful that they're going to show this movie, Miele, which is Honey, it's called, that I wrote for Valeria Golino, who is an ex. Well, she's not an ex. She's an actress, but this is her debut as a director, and I think she did a terrific job as a director. And we wrote the script together, which is also based on a book. I'm very glad that I wrote that film because it's quite a problematic subject. You know, it's about assisted suicide, and it was very, very important for us to make that film. As you know, in Italy, it's a very controversial issue, and it is around the world still, but I think that it's something that people deeply care about. And the film is, in many ways, it doesn't give an answer to the problem, really, but it just lets the viewer, I think, decide for themselves. So it's exciting. It's very exciting to be able to talk about the book and the film. And of course, in my writing for cinema, I am always writing in Italian. So I find I have these two, my brain is sort of split up into different, has taken two different courses. Like I cannot go back to Italian for fiction, but I'm unable to write for films in English. So it's quite a strange situation.
That's fascinating. The reading event will take place at 4:15 on Friday, April 11th at the New York State Writers Institute, University at Albany in the University Hall Room, 110. And then the screening, the film event, will take place on the downtown campus at Page Hall at 7 o'clock. You can find out more information about both events by going to our website, which is wamc.org/roundtable. The title of the new story collection is The Other Language. It is just out from Pantheon. Francesca Marciano, thank you so much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks. The pleasure was mine.
Thank you very much. And again, we look forward to having you in town. The name of the book, The Other Language, published by Pantheon. You can find out about all the events by going to wamc.org/roundtable. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.